You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we got to go. We got a lot of things to get to today. Lots of good interviews, food, righteous indignation. We got
What are you talking about?
We got it all today.
Come on.
This one's going to go uber fast.
Okay.
If you want to get in on the conversation or ask questions of any of these humans on the show, 790-2040, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. And so this is the rundown real quick. In just a few couple minutes, we're going to have Bill Beards calling in because he was at this Pima County board meeting where the folks and actually the restaurant owners really stepped up yesterday.
Yay.
To tell them that Sharon Bronson, Ramon Valadez, Betty Viegas, and Chuck have all lost their freaking minds.
Get out of our stinking face.
So we're going to have that. That's coming up very, very soon. Then we have Rob Bluey, Vice President of the Heritage Foundation. They put a piece out about 14 ways we need to get this economy back and like really fast. Author Dominic Green, he was on last month. He's our British guy who writes for Spectator USA magazine. He was great. He's back for his monthly visit. Steve Moore, who's from, I think he was on Heritage. He's the guy who called in last week, and he's been an economic advisor for the White House and other things like that. And he's on the White House Economic Recovery Task Force. He's calling in at 7:30. Then Food Wednesday brought to you by Visit Tucson, Tucson Tamale Company. And then Senator Martha McSally at 8:30.
Look at that.
So it's a crazy show today.
All
it's
going to
go.
Where else are you going to get that?
Uber fast.
Come on.
It's going to be good.
It's all here.
And one more thing. So I left early yesterday. We played our best of food show yesterday at 8 o'clock. And I went to the CDO graduation.
Yay.
And this was 15 students at a time. They said there was going to be like a little mini ceremony. I will just tell you, any of you CDO parents or family that might be going today because they're going to be doing this crap all day, prepare to be underwhelmed. It was so bad, the whole experience. They should have waited for a summer graduation. This was a thing. I can't even call it. It wasn't a ceremony. It was a joke. Literally, it was something that was cooked up by bureaucrats and lawyers. It had no heart, no soul. It's over before you blink. Don't blink when you go today. You'll not even know it happened. It was an effing joke.
You don't sound happy.
Oh, my girl was not happy. My girl, who's the classiest of the DeSimones.
Yeah.
As she's walking out, you know my daughter, all right? Yeah. She's walking out of this auditorium and these teachers are like, oh, congrats. They're like, congratulations, right? She goes, what the hell was that? The photo op was taking a picture with this principal who said, congratulations, and then was more interested in how they held their diploma for a picture with the principal. The principal's wearing her COVID mask.
Oh, geez.
All the kids were talking afterwards. None of them want a picture of the COVID mask. Why would you want to immortalize a moment of something that ruined your entire senior year? They're like, screw the picture. If they knew she was going to wear a mask, they wouldn't. It was just you're trapped at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of them are like, you know, on second thought, I should have just kept on walking off the stage with this principal wearing her silly 2020 COVID mask. You just should have never had it. Todd Yeager, who's a superintendent's a lawyer. I already wrote Todd an email this morning. Joke. Total joke. AmFi screwed it up hard. Just telling you. So again, CDO parents, grandparents, family members, they only allow four of you in there to do this, to watch this joke. Underwhelms the word. Just telling you. Had to get that off my chest. Let's go right over to Bill Beard, supervisor, district candidate, District 1 candidate. And he's our Les Nessman in the field today. He was at the Pima County Board of Supes meeting yesterday. William, good morning.
Good morning. I expect a copper cow out of this one.
I will get you a copper cow, I promise. Are you wearing your Pima County COVID mask while you're calling me from your house?
No, I'm not.
Okay, just want to make sure. All right, set the scene, buddy. I want to do this over the next couple of segments because there's a lot of meat on this bone. So what did it look like in there?
It was interesting. The those of you that have been to the Board of Supervisors or seen pictures, it's kind of a semi-auditorium approach. You've got the, you know, kind of a movie theater style seating, but they've got 90% of the seats you couldn't sit in, they put signs on each of the seats, and where there wasn't a sign, someone could sit. Supposedly those were 6 feet apart, but when you actually looked at them and you didn't need a measuring tape to do it, you realized that the seats were in fact not 6 feet apart. But before you even got into the room...
Now you're saying they were they further apart or closer than six?
They were closer than six in many cases.
Okay.
As several of the speakers yesterday pointed out. And even before you got in the room, they had some folding chairs out in the lobby that were supposedly 6 feet apart. And it was, again, clear they weren't 6 feet apart. But when you were standing in line to get your temperature taken, one of the county staffers would periodically tell the crowd, you're too close together. Even husband and wife were forced to stand 6 feet apart from each other simply because you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up.
Now, tell me about this. What was the consistency? This is something I heard from the restaurateurs, the consistency of Pima County staff wearing masks.
This was the fun part. Again, if you've been to a supervisor meeting, there's several different types of people in there. There's some of them that are sheriff's deputies, some that are the paid security guards, and then there's also some that are just random county employees that's who knows what they do. But in yesterday's meeting, one of their jobs was to go around and remind people to wear masks. This was true of, and I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but this was pretty consistent. If you were in the room, essentially as security, either the security guard, sheriff deputy, or the minders walking around telling people to put the masks on, you were not wearing a mask.
Brilliant. Chuck's got control of this one.
But you were forced to, if you were sitting in the room, to wear a mask. Now, it was pretty inconsistent on what was being allowed in there. Before the meeting got started, they had some technical difficulties with the Zoom meeting portion of it. I guess Sharon Bronson was doing it from home, and then there was a couple of other people.
Come on, Sharon Bronson was doing it from home.
There were some other people that were supposedly, I guess, members of the public or something. They really weren't identified. But it took about 10 minutes after 9 o'clock before the meeting actually got started so they could get the technical difficulties figured out. And even then, for whatever reason, Sharon Bronson still wasn't connected, but she was connected, at least according to the technical guide. Setting that part aside, it was just the inconsistent nature of what they were trying to do. And Ramon Valadez, this was probably one of his favorite words yesterday. It was a work in progress. So we're setting policy in Pima County for the rest of us to have to follow.
Right.
But because it's a work in progress, we're the ones as the taxpayers, as the citizens, that have to accommodate the needs and the inconsistent behavior of the ones that are supposedly setting the policy. That was kind of the theme throughout yesterday's meeting. Do as I say, not as I do.
And here are 17 things that you must do. Yes, because we said so.
So let's do this. When we come back from break, Bill, hang on. I want to. We're going to have. I sent Ed yesterday. It was the clip. I was so impressed by the amount of restaurant owners that showed up yesterday.
Amen.
It's the best representation of small business, because usually when there's business people show up, it's usually the sham chamber people or SALCers who are there to say, thank you for giving us, trying to levy another tax on us. You're great. So seeing these people pissed off was awesome.
And I will say the passion in that room from these business owners was real, and it could not be dismissed. There was too much of it, and there was too much reality that they brought to the table yesterday that I wish the God was able to be at more of those meetings.
So we're going to have two short clips when we come back. We have this lady who owns a barbecue place in Vail called Tay's Barbecue, and then friend of the show, Sam Alboy from Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue, he had a rockin' statement to these guys. He also revealed to them how much taxes he sent to Pima into local government over all the years he's run restaurants. And the number was, I think, quite surprising for a few folks. So, Bill Beard, hold on. We'll get back. Ed Alexander, Christy Simone, Bill Beard, we're giving you firsthand reporting from the Les Nessman here of Wake Up Tucson. Bill Beard, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Can we get away with playing Great White Buffalo in Tucson, Arizona? We just did.
Yeah.
790-2040 is the phone number. We're hanging out with Billy Beard. He is a Pima County District 1 supervisor candidate, and he was there taking the bullets for the Wake Up Tucson listeners by sitting in at a Pima County Board of Supervisors meeting, but he's applying for the job to do it on a regular basis, so I appreciate him doing it. So, Bill, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, kind sir.
Ed, let's yes, real quick, and Ed, get ready to play Sam. Let's do Sam first from Mama's Wine. Yes, Billa.
I just wanted to say it was what we talked about in the first segment. The number of restaurant owners, business owners that were there talking about how safe they were before this even began. Their job is to make sure that the customer is happy. You keep the customers happy because you provide them a safe dining experience. That was true before COVID ever reared its ugly head. Pretending that they're not going to be safe and want to ensure that their customers come back moving forward just is mind-boggling.
All right, let's go to a friend of the show, Sam Alboy, of course, Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue. He does a lot of work at, he's worked with the guys at Noble Hops over the last couple of years. And if there's a guy who knows how to run a restaurant, it's Sam Alboy. And so he got up there, and Sam, I believe, is a, he's a lifelong Democrat, and that doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying in relation to, he's just speaking the truth and the reality of what it is to be a restaurant owner in Pima County. Let's go, Ed.
I think, the Pima County Health Department has been struggling for many years. They have never fulfilled their contractual obligation of inspecting my restaurants once a quarter that I pay for every year. Obviously, you're aware of this because we removed both directors of the Pima County Health Department within the last year. And now you decide that they don't have enough on their hands, that you want them to police 17 additional criteria, many of which go directly against health care. I've contributed over $4 million in Pima County taxes in the last 10 years. You need to listen to me. You need to listen to the people in this room. The experience of these owners and operators is greater than the experience of all of your health department inspectors combined. Some of us have written the national criteria, the ServSafe book that managers take all across the country to certify for safety. You need to step back, take a breath, repeal this list until you have sound practices that will not hurt the industry, that will not hurt the safety of my employees, and that will not open up the Pima County taxpayers to the litigation that will come from the restaurant industry if you go forward with these 17 not well thought out guidelines.
So very interesting. Sam said a couple of things. First and foremost, you guys already fired your last two directors of the health department. And it's already, this place is already scrambling in relation to what's going on. And then you want to add this crap. Then he said, I've paid over 10 years, $4 million worth of taxes to the Pima County coffers. And then at the end, he said, be wary of litigation coming your way from the restaurant industry. Bill, what else am I missing in the, Sam and some of the, what other restaurant owner? Ed, we'll never get to this other person in time. So
It was funny. The restaurant owners, they were talking about what they do, and that, you know, Sam touched on it, how much money they bring into the community, tax revenues, etc. But one of the things that was pretty consistent through all of them, they kept pointing out the inconsistencies in the rules and regulations that were passed last week. One of them, and this was probably one of the highlights of the meeting, one of the restaurant owners, and forgive me, I forget which one actually said it, talked about how they needed to actually sanitize the table that you do your speaking for call to the audience and the microphone.
Right.
It was three quarters of the way through the call to the audience. All of a sudden, the clerk of the board is out there with some cleaner and a rag, and she's quickly wiping down the mic and quickly wiping down the table between each person. But it was only after the restaurant folks pointed out to the board, this is what we have to do in our restaurants, and you can't do it here at the Board of Supervisors, that she even it even dawned on them to make this happen. The look on her face after she was out there forced to do that after each person was speaking about three quarters of the way through the speakers, it's hilarious and speaks volumes about what the true intent of this whole thing is. It's about controlling people and making sure that they're the ones sitting on top of the pile.
It's the Marie Antoinette.
Amen.
Moment.
There was one other moment that I
now hold on. We want to get this call.
Okay.
This is not a call?
Oh, no. Just to clarify, it was Michael Elefante from Mama Louisa's who made that point.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you, Ed Alexander. Sorry, Bill.
There was some back and forth about several of the restaurateurs mentioned that they were having difficulty getting hand sanitizer, that the new requirements require that all the restaurants have, basically at every entrance, the bathrooms, et cetera. One of the restaurateurs pointed out that they've had on order hand sanitizer since before this whole thing began, and they have yet to receive one shipment of the hand sanitizer. And I don't remember whether it was a member of the board or Chuck himself that mentioned, well, we could add the words or soap. And I swear to God, Chuck's direct quote was, most restaurants have soap. And the physical reaction... Because he was on camera, there was a member, and unless the person wants to identify themselves, I'll just say that one of the restaurant owners was sitting behind Chuck, at least from the camera angle, and he smacks his head as if to say, duh, in response to Chuck's comment about most restaurants have soap, I think encapsulates the entire conversation yesterday. They are treating this as something that they have attempted to make these monumental decisions that no one else could ever think of because these are the best people in the world to make these decisions. Not a single one of them has experience in the restaurant industry. Board majority that vote for this thing, they don't run businesses and know how to deal with these.
All right, we're running out of time, Bill. Thank you for your report, and thanks for being there for the taxpayer like you usually are. I want to share a little meme I have, a picture of Ramon Valadez's face. And it says, Dear Pima County Restaurant Orders, thank you for being an important part of America's first city of gastronomy. Now let me, Betty, Sharon, and Chuck with 0 years of restaurant experience to dictate exactly how you're going to run your restaurant. P.S. Stop bothering us.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, Bill, thanks. Have a good day. Keep doing what you're doing.
BeardForSupervisor.com. Hit the donate button.
You are correct. BeardForSupervisor.com. Hit the donate button. We're always for shameless plugs here on Wake Up Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
A guy from the Heritage Foundation is coming up next. We have video of Ed and his wife singing this in Mexico. They might have had one or four beers.
In a cantina somewhere on the beach. Thank you very much. Cher's birthday today, and that's a good thing.
For a couple of you have kind of messaged me about the stream for KVOI.com, then you have it. I hit it like literally 15 minutes ago, and it worked just fine. It took maybe a few extra seconds, so just let it roll a little bit.
Be patient.
Yeah, slow your roll, as we like to say at Wake Up Tucson. Let's go right to the Ed Alexander Live line. We have Rob Bluey, VP Communications of the Heritage Foundation. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
What part of this beautiful country are you calling from us? Are you near the swamp? Are you in the swamp area? Are you near the swamp?
Just outside. In northern Virginia, right near George Washington's land at Mount Vernon. So it's a beautiful, beautiful part of Virginia.
It is, yes.
It's still the suburban swamp, but a beautiful part of the suburban swamp, as we like to say. Thank you for being here. This show, from the day this whole coronavirus thing happened, we were a slow your roll in relation. We were always talking about incremental decision making when it came to making very big decisions that could ruin people's lives. And then at the same time, we were constantly in the pose of when this thing really starts getting that we can reopen business, let's do it safely as quickly as possible. And let's be ready to go once we're ready to go. And I like this idea. You guys have your, I want to make sure I get the number right. It's what, 14 ways? Yes, no, 12 ways to get this country back going again. So I present the floor to you, Mr. Bluey.
Well, we do. The Heritage Foundation in early April decided to create the National Coronavirus Recovery Commission with 17 different leaders and experts who brought a range of experience and diversity. We felt that the private sector could put forward these recommendations faster and probably more efficiently than the government could. We wanted to inform policymakers in the state level, local level, and federal government, as well as the private sector, about the steps that they could take to get our country reopened again. And we've been very grateful that it's having an impact. In fact, just yesterday, President Trump announced an executive order which draws from some of the recommendations in terms of the regulatory changes that should be made. But you're absolutely correct. We need to do so safely. We also need to do so expeditiously. I'm grateful to see that now every state has at least partially reopened. Obviously, some to different degrees. Calling from Northern Virginia, I can tell you that much of Northern Virginia remains closed, whereas the rest of the state is open or beginning that process of reopening. And so that's exactly the approach that we think that the commission thinks that we should follow. It's why we've focused on doing it county by county or even zip code by zip code, because not every state is going to be operating the same way. And in fact, within several states, you look at Michigan, for example, you have a situation in Detroit which is quite different from the Upper Peninsula. So why should the state have a blanket policy for every county when certain counties might be able to reopen more expeditiously?
So, Rob, we live here in Tucson, Arizona. I've been doing the show for 11 years. We refer to it as the liberal petri dish, okay? And a lot of our brothers and sisters, a lot of them in government, basically don't want to open up anything until we have a vaccine and make sure we destroy the coronavirus and possibly all ability to die, whatever. So what do you tell these folks when they say, well, when's the right time to open up? What is the Heritage Foundation? What's their take on when do we think they're – is it the president's CDC phases? Is that you guys are, you know, in relation?
We do like the phased approach. In fact, I can tell you that as an organization, the Heritage Foundation itself has a phased approach to how we'll be bringing people back to our office. And that's exactly, I think, the right method, because you have to remember when it comes to the to COVID-19, there are certain individuals who are in a high-risk category or more vulnerable than others. And so those individuals probably will have to take additional safety precautions. And if they can work from home and continue to telework, they might choose to do so because they won't be putting themselves at risk. But yes, the time is now to begin having those conversations. I think that some states have moved already to cancel school throughout the rest of the year. I think that's unfortunate, and those decisions were probably premature because not every county, again, is going to be facing the same situation that the entire state might be dealing with.
We canceled the rest of our school year in Arizona, which just ended this week. It would have ended this week, and it was the wrong decision. We went way too early. We were like, oh, we're going to cancel the next 7 weeks of school. It wasn't the right thing to do. I want to go through these before I lose you. I got to go through these. Let's go. We're going to rapid fire Rob from the Heritage Foundation, Ed. Number one, allow businesses in counties with low incidence to reopen. And the state of Arizona, of course, we are one of the leaders in this, that Governor Ducey had a little bit of a hiccup, but he's there. And I think people are liking that. This is a new one. Not a new one. I like to use stay-at-home orders sparingly.
That's right. Well, it's really important, again.
Put the toothpaste back in the tube, Rob.
Yeah. let's not abuse our let's not have the governors abuse their authority. I think we need some focus on civics education here again, and make sure that we're reminding our leaders of the powers that they should be really exhibiting. And again, use so sparingly, because not every single county is facing this. And by the way, we have a great county by county map, so you can see every single county in Arizona and whether the incidences are increasing or decreasing. It's a great reference point for local officials to make decisions.
And then, of course, I just got tweeted from someone at Gretchen in Michigan. Get this guy off the show. Wow. Chill out, Gretchen. He's okay. Just kidding. About using stay-at-home orders. But it's a bad joke. Sorry. All right. Medical. Let's go to number four. Allow all medical offices to open. This is something I think we blew in hindsight, too, that we should have never shut down those elective procedures, right? Actually, I hate the word elective procedure, but that was a mistake, right?
Well, not only that, but I think that there are regular other preventative care, people getting their annual physicals, people going for their dental cleanings, all of those things that we do to make sure that we're staying healthy and prevent more serious illnesses have all been delayed. And so people are going to face consequences as a result of that and other health issues. So absolutely we need to get those health offices reopened again.
You just talked about President Trump did an executive order about looking at regulations again that could be waived or modified in response. Number six, this is very important. Now, we have half of a legislature working. Our House is in session, but our Senate doesn't want to go into session in Arizona. But one of the things they need to work on is liability protections for businesses. Talk about that from your guys' angle.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of employers are going to be reluctant because they have employees who either won't come back on the job, or the employers are fearful that if they do come back, they'll be sued in a court of law. And so what you have is a situation where there's a stalemate in the U.S. Congress where Democrats don't want to offer these protections and Republicans do. So I think eventually they'll work out their differences. But yes, this is a major issue that is going to be very critical in terms of when we get people back on the job.
We always have Congressman Schweikert on the show from Arizona every Thursday. I'm sure you're familiar with David. But tomorrow we're going to do the perverse incentives of the CARES Act. And
yes,
let's talk. I know number seven is about PPP, but let's talk about the perverse incentives there going on right now.
Well, particularly on unemployment insurance, this is one where the CARES Act offers a $600 bonus above your unemployment payment. So you are actually encouraging people to stay away from their job by giving them this extra money. And I think that what we've seen is more people file for unemployment as a result and not stay tethered to their employer. And that's a big challenge now to get them back to a position where they're going to work, because of course if they can make more money on the sidelines, why wouldn't you do that? So we need to fix that.
Reduce small business tax liability with a physical presence standard. Explain that, Rob Louie.
Yeah, well, physical presence. So a lot of businesses have now moved to a virtual operating system, whether it's in retail or other industries. And so having a physical presence, you know, a location in a specific city, obviously has certain tax liabilities. And we want to make sure that we take steps to address that. Our economy is going to change. It is changing already. And as a result of that, we need to be making sure that we're modifying the law and giving these businesses an opportunity to be competitive.
Incentivize R&D and infrastructure with permanent full expensing.
Yeah, so this was part of the big tax cut that President Trump signed in 2017, and expensing is an important way for businesses to take advantage of an opportunity where they can drive more in their research and development. And so to the extent that the federal government can get out of the way and, again, create a more level playing field, we think it's a good thing.
And then honor and enforce contractual insurance obligations.
So one of the things you've been hearing is insurance not willing to pay up or honor policies or fighting with businesses over this. So we think that there should be clarity on this, and businesses that have insurance should definitely be in a position where they need to honor those contracts. So again, one of those things that's in the details, but for a lot of business owners, it could be the difference between surviving or maybe going bankrupt.
And eliminate all tariffs imposed since 18.
Yeah, so President Trump has made tariffs a big centerpiece of his administration, and unfortunately they're causing roadblocks when it comes to international trade. And so we want to make sure that when we do start these international relationships again, there's nothing standing in the way. And tariffs, unfortunately, pass down the cost to consumers. So we want to make sure that we remove those barriers immediately.
We can open that. You and I can have a tariff conversation for a half hour, but we don't have that much time. So, well, my last question I have for you is: it says in this piece a little bit, it says if broad-based lockdown policies continue much longer, we're really getting into the word depression/recession, other than maybe a temporary blip on the radar. So, I guess the question is: what is the real solution to breaking down these lockdowns? Is it? I guess what we're seeing is, when these different governors are getting sued or whatever, I feel like they're losing in court most of the time. Is it that every state needs to sue the governor who's doing a draconian lockdown and go from there?
Well, that's certainly one way to do it. I think another thing that we've seen is when the American people have said that they've had enough and they start to protest and they start to go back to doing things safely, but relatively normally how we did it back before March 15th, I think that, yes, you may find a situation where the governors see that public pressure is forcing them to rethink things. In other cases, you're absolutely right, Wisconsin being a leading example of where the state Supreme Court threw out the governor's order. So there, I think it'll happen a variety of ways. I think also President Trump will, using his bully pulpit, will be able to rally the American people and hopefully put us in a situation where we're better off. It's going to take time for this recovery to happen. There's no doubt about that. With over 30 million people filing for unemployment, it'll take some time to get them off the rolls. But the underlying economy was good going into this, so hopefully we can come out of it relatively quickly.
I think he needs to use the pulpit to tell all these people. Right now what we're learning is, I know New York, Cuomo just got sued. I think that's the only way kind of out of this. And then we talk about the phrase Irish democracy, which everyone's just doing what they want to do anyway.
That's right. You're starting to see that increasingly. I think the American people know that they need to protect themselves and stay safe. But at the same time, they don't need a government leader telling them what they can and can't do. And so let's have some trust and confidence in the American people at the end of the day here.
Rob Bluey from the Heritage Foundation, thanks for the discussion. I'll be posting this up on our website and social media crap. I say that in the biggest love possible later today. So, Rob, what's the heritage.org to find out more about what you guys are working on?
Sure, it is heritage.org or coronaviruscommission.com. And your listeners can leave us their recommendations and ideas. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Rob, thanks for the call as always, man. And we'll hopefully make this a regular thing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Have a good day. Rob Bluey, he is with the Heritage Foundation. He is Vice President of Communications. We come back. There's a little bit of frosting on that Pima County story we talked with Bill Beard I want to get to. And then coming up at the top of the hour, we have Steve Moore and Dominic Green coming up in the second hour. Third hour, Sherry Tucson Tamale Company for Food Wednesday and Senator Martha McSally. Ah, here's my Woo. Scandinavians. Promoting herd immunity. Take on me. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30, The Voice. All right. Remember, it's primary season. It's like 50 days till the primaries
That's
are here.
Crazy.
Early ballots go out. And I will tell you, children, that let's say you Democrats listening to the show, and you know you're out there, you don't want to vote for those evil Republicans. Can you at least put some new Democrats in there? All three of these seats are being contested. Right at the Pima County Board of Supes, right? I got Valadez as Richard Hernandez and Ed's favorite, Dr. Matt Hines.
Ah!
Now, no matter how much of a toilet face Matt Hines is, he might be better than Ramon Valadez. Maybe? Could he be better? I don't know, but maybe. I'm willing to try anything at this point from the D side, right? So then we got Sharon Bronson.
Stop it.
Okay, four decades, totally lost to just in the woods.
Phoned it in yesterday, was not even at the damn meeting.
I'm gonna defend her on that.
Oh, please.
She is a very susceptible category
so am
for
I.
This.
So,
I, well,
it's her job.
I'm just telling you.
Stop it.
That's one thing I'm not gonna hit her on.
I am, so go
But
ahead.
I will hit her on 38 years of crappy decisions and crappy votes and being a tool for Huckleberry, Extreman, Grijalva. How about that? Can I say that? She can be a tool, but she can do it from home safely. Okay? But here's the thing. So she's got Juan Padres. As a Democrat, why would, unless you're a crony, why, because you're getting your sweet deals, right? Or your work at Worldview or one of these things, right? As a Democrat, why would you not vote for Juan Padres? Young guy, has a family, has worked economic development in this community for years, and you're going to go, oh, let's put Sharon in for 34 more years. Why the hell would you do that? I mean, I'm so desperate for leadership, I'm even considering Matt Hines, for God's sakes. Then I got Richard's seat. And I got Adelita Grijalva, who has a track record of, first of all, it's a Grijalva, so that's a problem in the first place, right? And here's the other thing. You want her and Rahina tied at the, they're tied at the hip anyway. So you tie them at the hip at the city and the county, we're toast. Toast.
Run rampant over us.
So we got this Consuelo Gonzalez Hernandez girl running. She's Daniel and Alma's sister. Well, you know something? The Hernandezes hate the Grijalvas. So you know something? Vote for the Hernandez kid. For God's sakes. Any family that's an Hispanic family that is in politics that somehow has earned the ire of the Grijalvas, go do it in this primary. For God's sakes, Democrats, what are you doing? I watched the video of Juan Padres at the Democrats of Tucson because they got to Zoom it now. So now they're putting it on YouTube. So I watched it, right? And the first, this is the best one. You have a couple of Sharon cronies in there, right? And this one lady's like, oh, you keep complaining about her being in office for 28 years. That's ageism. That's the defense.
Oh, my gosh.
It's ageism.
Ageism.
And Juan had a great answer. He said, oh, if she was in there since 18 years old, I would still make the same complaint.
Age shaming.
Right. Absolutely.
Stop.
No one believes anyone in office for 28 years is a good thing. No one. Unless you're a hack or a crony. So I'm just telling you, the stupid newspaper and Dylan and Blake Morlock and, well, Nintzel's hopeless, right? It should be out there going, hey, a new generation of Democrats are running. Juan's in his late 30s. Alma's in her 20s, right? Matt Hines is, I don't know what the hell Matt Hines is. And Richard Hernandez is whatever, okay? But here's a new crop of Democrats trying to do something like fix a road. If you look at Juan Padre's website and what he says and what he said on the show and what's in his social media, here's a Democrat. Guess what he's leading with? Fix a road. The other questions, of course, for the Democrats that's very important for a Democrat running for supervisor is, are you pro-abortion? That was like the second question. And then the third question is, how are you going to shut down the gun shows at the fairgrounds? These are the important questions of the greater Tucson Democrats. Well, everything else is falling around their head. They're like, how can we do more abortions and how can we stop the gun show? So, the update to this meeting is that they're going to come back in 2 days with an emergency meeting.
Because they screwed it up so bad the first time.
I'm just telling you, kudos to all of those small restaurant owners. You guys did the best representation of small business at the Board of Soups like in a long, 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 long time. It was very inspiring to see all that because what's happened is the chambers of this world have let down the small business owner over 25 years in this town. And they usually only show up. I heard Guyman. I got to hear what he spoke. He's the VP of the chamber spoke. I didn't hear it, so I won't say one thing, one or the other. But the usually what happens is they only show up when they want to support Chuck when he needs more of your money. Remember that. Remember Amber Smith showed up at the meeting to shove 463 that when they voted to shove 463 the road bond down your throat, she showed up and spoke and then she had to send out to her crew, I went to the meeting today to support great roads by increasing your taxes to a bunch of people who don't know how to spend your money properly. So anyway, I want to get off that. You restaurant owners yesterday, you killed it. Elefante, the lady from Tay's Barbecue, of course, Sam, and there's others that were there. You guys were amazing. And keep it up. Keep it up. Remember, these are the people that were kissing your butt because you made up the city of gastronomy. Now they're telling you to go to hell. To your face. And, you know, because they're gonna stop death. That's Ramon Valadez. He's going to stop death for you.
They've got to be tired of it. They're the ones that everybody's been picking on since this whole thing started. Restaurants got to close. Restaurants, restaurants, restaurants. You know, everything is about the restaurants for the last 7-8 weeks. They finally had enough.
Gotcha.
And they finally had enough of this stuff that they're just making up. It's crazy.
All right. Dominic Green coming up from Spectator USA. Steve Moore from the White House Economic Recovery Task Force. Sherry from Tucson, Somali. Senator Martha McSally.
Yeah, baby.
Wake up, babies.